Hello, everyone. This is your host, Craig Faust, with Mental Health Insights. And today's episode is actually a rebroadcast of one of our trauma series episodes. So our trauma 2 episode is an episode that I did not realize this happened to until a little bit later, but most of it got cut off. So I must have made some type of error, and I did not save the episode like I normally do. So I don't know if there was something going on with my computer or whatever, but we lost that episode, or at least lost most of the conversation that we had. So in order to bridge our trauma series, right, so our trauma part 1, and then we just recorded the other day our trauma part 2, I'm going to redo that trauma part 2, and this will be a solo. So I'll kind of go over what we went over so that there's a nice bridge between those two episodes. And that way there's no gap of knowledge or anything if you are listening to that entire series. And during that original episode, Nicole Oliver and Pete Sandoval actually joined me for that one as well. And they'll again join me for the third episode in that trauma series. So just kind of starting right off the bat, where we ended off was talking about how trauma is all-encompassing. Whenever it occurs to us, whenever trauma occurs, and the way that our brain ends up dealing with it is by kind of wiring around some of the damage or the implicated parts in our brain. And those parts can go into a state of low activity. And this has many different ramifications for us. So the body and the brain are very adaptable to whenever damage occurs to them. Whenever damage occurs in a mental health side or on a mental side, the brain will start to adapt and wire around it while seeking to fully integrate those parts back in. See, whenever a part of the brain goes offline due to some type of traumatic experience, it is not the brain's intention to actually just leave that part behind. It's actually to reintegrate that piece back into it so that it can be a full brain capable of having a full range of experiences. The only time this doesn't happen is if there is a traumatic brain injury where a part of the brain is actually harmed to such a degree that that's not possible, or the very brain matter or the neurons themselves are destroyed. And in that case, the brain a lot of times can actually rewire as well around those parts and to be, mostly or closely functional like it was. And a lot of this depends on your age range, which is not something that I'm going to get quite to into this episode. But that's where we kind of left off. So what we want to talk about today is that the brain has this wonderful ability to adapt and survive, right? And a lot of times when people experience trauma, it's not just something that happens in the brain, it's something that manifests in the body. Because whenever we go into our stress response or our survival response or fight, flight, or freeze or whatever you'd like to call the response, whenever we go into that response, it's a very physical reaction as well. So a lot of times, I think a lot of early trauma professionals, they actually noticed how people were walking home from war and the way that their bodies were different. And that was kind of the first signal that let them know they're walking different, they're behaving a little bit different. So sometimes it's easier to pick up on how our body is functioning just a little bit differently to pick up on trauma. Because again, what occurs in the brain also occurs in the body, right? So if trauma occurs and our brain is rewired, it also affects the body and the way that the body functions. So this is whenever you can get a whole range and a whole host of things that end up happening. So let's say, for example, I suffer a traumatic experience, then my body will react to things very differently in the environment, which is a little bit what we talked about in the first episode. Well, because my body is reacting differently, that sometimes means that we have different needs, right? And that because we're reacting to things differently, it changes so many things with how we sleep, our different appetite, or the way that we do our relationships, or anything like that. So it is a massive massive change. And that's why whenever we are affected by trauma, so many different systems can be impacted. And there are so many different things to do about it. So one of the things that we're really learning about trauma is we have to integrate what is happening in our brain and in our body. And during episode 3 of this trauma series, we're actually going to talk about the different trauma treatments that therapists use. But if you're someone that's at home listening to this and you're like, well, hey, things are really rough right now, we can talk about some of the things that you can do that may help for the short term, but to really integrate that piece. A lot of times to do that, help would definitely expedite that process. So we want to explore the sensations that are happening in the body and to understand them. There is a practice called mindfulness, which is really kind of sweeping the nation. It's something that definitely blossomed in Eastern culture, but it, simply put, is being aware and paying attention to the body. So whenever we can pay attention and notice different things that happen in our body, that is a great way for us to experience a linking experience between whenever we have a thought or a feeling shows up for us and noticing how our body behaves to it, or vice versa, noticing whenever something happens to our body and then the following thought and or feeling that occurs after that. So you're creating and noticing a parallel system with it. This is super important. So I think as I come up with kind of an example like this, the first thing that comes into my mind is if you're driving a car and the car is in alignment, whenever I move my steering wheel a certain distance, a certain turn, the car responds to it, right? That would be a body that is having a good parallel processing. Now, if I start to turn the wheel and my alignment is all messed up and it's out of whack, then what I've gotten used to is turning it to a certain degree and it does this kind of turn. Well, if the alignment's really out of whack and I turn it to that same thing, that same degree, it may not turn or respond as well as it should, right? And that's kind of what happens to our bodies whenever a trauma response occurs, is that it is not responding the way that we are used to it responding. Our body is not, our brain is not, because they're not working in sync. So integrating those two processes is a lot about becoming aware of what is going on, taking those mental notes, sitting inside our body, and noticing what happens whenever we do and whenever we have different experiences. Now, traditionally, whenever you experience a trauma, especially depending on what type of trauma it is, the body is not a safe place. So let's talk about like sexual trauma. A lot of times the body is not a safe place whenever you have some type of sexual trauma. It doesn't feel comfortable. Your body doesn't feel comfortable. It doesn't feel right, right? And being able to tune into those different parts and being able to understand those different parts and how they are linked to the feelings and the thoughts that occur with us really helps to start integrate those experiences. There is a lot of different movement-based things that help, such as dance or yoga, that really start to help us integrate and notice that as our body moves this way and as it's positioned this way, it makes me feel or makes me think this way, right? So being able to strengthen those links, that integration process, really helps with trauma, because the brain is always seeking to integrate that part in that has been cut out in order for you to survive, right? Remember back to our first episode, we talked about whenever you experience trauma, there's a part of the brain that goes dark, right? Or there's a part of the brain that gets less resources dumped into it, or that's less accessible because that's the part of the brain that the trauma affected. So the more and more that we're able to integrate that part into us, the less and less the intense the traumatic experience is, right? So this is something that's really important for us to know and understand. Because let's say that I got into a terrible car accident, and every time that I hear a loud noise that sounds like a car crashing or anything, I just really, I go into my trauma response, and I really start to freak out. It's pretty normal for a trauma response. If I notice that every time that I hear that noise, the things that happen, and I can let myself know that this isn't that moment. I am safe. I am okay. I didn't get into a car accident right now, right? Those are things that help the brain start to reintegrate those pieces. Now, trauma is a massive, massive emotional experience that ends up happening, because a lot of times whenever trauma sticks to us, it's because there's this belief, or there is this, it's kind of like this ingrained sense in us that we weren't going to make it, that we were going to die, right? So whenever we had this experience, if we have this fear that we are going to die, that's one of the imprints that trauma leaves, right? Or our life is never going to be the same. There's going to be a piece of us that we lost in those moments, right? So whenever we start to integrate that and we can start to know, I experienced this loud noise. I remember the car accident. Wait a second. The car accident is not happening right now. Okay. My body's really amping up. This is just my stress response. Right, I am okay right now. I am safe right now. It helps the brain start to reintegrate that experience. And thus, next time I hear a loud noise and I have that experience, it's not as intense until you do that enough times and you don't experience that at all. Right, that's the overall goal, is that whenever I get triggered, that I actually don't experience that same thing, right? That same trauma response is so terrifying. I don't go back to that same car accident, right? I don't go back to that same awful experience that happened to me. Instead, I can know that I am safe right now, that things are okay, and I don't have to go to that level of heightened sense to keep myself alive, right? That's how you start to integrate the experiences into your trauma response, right? So there's different, like I said earlier, different type of movement or different type of yoga therapy. Like, let's say, for instance, let's say that I was kidnapped. I was tied up and I was beaten, right? So in those moments, I could have several different trauma responses that would show up from that. One, if I'm around people I don't know. Two, if I'm tied up or restrained, or if I feel like I'm cornered. Like, any of those things can activate my trauma response. So if my trauma response gets activated in those moments, like let's say that I feel like I get kind of cornered, right? There's a lot of people in a room and I'm starting to feel like, oh, this is kind of how it was. I was in that room. Like, the traumatic experience is starting to come up. And I notice that my body starts to tighten up, like it's being restrained. If I can move my body in those moments, help myself to realize that I am not in that same place, then I start to have a different experience of my trauma. I start to have a different experience of my trauma response. Wait a second, I'm not restrained right now. Oh, okay, I'm not in that place right now. I'm not kidnapped. These people aren't going to do that. I can move around, right? I can actually leave, right? And in those moments, that different experience is the thing that starts to integrate into our brain, and we start to get the brain and the body on the same page and reminding it that, wait a second, the context around this is different. This is not actually the something that should be as threatening, right? And then the trauma response will start to go away, right? It'll start to go away after time. So that's something that's super important, and that is the main focus of trauma therapy and the main way that we start to move out of trauma. Now, there's all kinds of different components, because like I said, I think I even said this at the end of our last episode with the trauma series part one, is that it is a total war, right? So the thing is happening in our mind, it's happening in our body, and because of that, it starts to affect everything. So whenever you are working with trauma and you're trying to reduce the response, sleep is a huge thing. Being able to make sure you get appropriate amounts of sleep are very key, because if we don't get enough sleep, then our emotional reactivity goes up. Our ability to get triggered goes up, right? The more and more that we don't sleep, the harder and harder it is just for us to integrate day-to-day experiences, much less some horrible experience that has happened in our life back into our brain and our body. It's hard to get them on the same pages, right? So sleep is crucial. Nutrition is crucial as well, right? If I am someone that has had a traumatic experience, there's a very good chance that I am consuming different things to kind of help soften the blow with that, right? If my stress response is going off all the time, I'm probably really exhausted, drinking a ton of coffee, ton of energy drinks, or whatever it may be, or maybe using other drugs to help keep me awake or help keep me going or ease the tension or whatever it may be. And so nutrition plays a really key aspect as far as it's what is supplying our body. If I'm constantly consuming a stimulant, guess what? It's going to be easier for my body to be on edge, right? So whenever I say stimulant, that'd be something like coffee or, you know, cigarettes or, you know, with nicotine or anything like that. If you are constantly consuming a depressant to try to take the edge off things or to relax a little bit, guess what? That has ramifications as well, right? Then your body starts to rely on those types of things to help calm it down, right? So nutrition is a huge key player in being able to give us, you know, give ourselves the appropriate amount of nutritional balance that we are not constantly stimulating or depressing our body and adding on to some of the experience that we're already having, some of the hardships that we're already having to our traumatic response, right? And of course, there are other things like being able to exercise and moving the body, and are great ways of helping bring that movement piece and that physical competence piece to help us in different traumatic experience situations or you know, different triggers that may show up. Now, you know, I'm saying this, and any mental health professional will say, like, hey, whenever you're addressing any mental health thing, you make sure you're getting a lot of sleep, you make sure the nutrition, you know, your nutritional intake is good and varied, and then they're going to say, like, hey, you need to make sure that you're exercising. So it's hard to do those things when you're under any type of traumatic experience, which is why it's good to start small, all right? Starting small with the little bit of changes that you can make. Okay, I'm going to consume a little bit less coffee. Okay, I'm going to try to go to bed a half an hour earlier today. Okay, I'm going to try to, you know, eat this instead of that, you know, whatever it may be. Or I'm going to try to exercise for 10 minutes today or walk a little more. Doing those little things helps add up to bigger changes, right? I like to tell people sometimes you need to make little nudge changes. And this is where a lot of times having a therapist does help, because they can help you with like making the little incremental changes to get you to where you need to go, right? But some people, they're really good with making just a whole total life change, total life transition. Some people that are actually better with that, right? I just need to leave that old thing behind. I want to make sure I get plenty of sleep. I'm gonna make sure I'm exercising a ton. I'm gonna make sure I'm eating really healthy, and I'm going at this full force. So kind of knowing a little bit about yourself and what style would work better for you is really important. Right. So I think that from my perspective right here, kind of talking to us a little bit about what, like bridging between these two episodes, I think I've hit the main part. Next episode, what we're going to do is we're going to start talking about some of the therapies that we do, and we'll bring in this integration piece into it, because all the therapies that deal with trauma therapy have a huge integration aspect into them, integrating what's happening with our brain and what's happening with the body, because that's how you work with trauma, right? So we'll go on with that one, and we'll talk about some of the different therapies, some of the popular ones, how they work and everything. So the key thing for knowing the bridging between the episode one and episode three is knowing that doing things with your body, integrating things that happen with your body when you have a traumatic experience, becoming aware of it, knowing it, and then recognizing the difference, right? I'm not in that situation. Being able to put yourself in a safer place. All right, I am safe right now. I am okay. And to slowly help you start to step into some of those different experiences with your trauma response. Like I said, those are the keys between, you know, these episodes. But the key thing, in addition to that, is that it's something that you can work on your own, but it takes a lot longer, right? The brain is constantly working to try to integrate the trauma experience, you know, into your body and your brain, and to kind of fill that space. But it takes a while, right? Because our trauma response gets hit, it becomes so intense, it's hard for us. that's one of the benefits of having a therapist, is they create that safety. And that's something we'll talk more about in episode 3 of this trauma series. But one of the ways that you experience difference in your trauma experience is safety, right? If you can recognize that the trauma response I'm having right now is different because I'm not in actually any danger, right? And I am in a safe environment. That's the key to helping your brain be able to integrate those experiences, right? Like, let's say that, let's go back to the car example, right? I got into a terrible car accident. Unless I hear the terrible sound again, right? Screeching of the tires or whatever like that. And I'm in my car and I start freaking out, right? I start having a response and I start really getting amped up. It may not feel safe for me to be in the car right then. And that's okay. That means I have to pull over or, you know, do whatever I can to try to get off the road, and maybe stopping the car, being completely stopped, then I could be in a little bit safer place. All right. If I'm trapped or cornered and I had been kidnapped and, you know, being restrained is something that is really a triggering experience for me, and I start to feel like I'm trapped in a room because there's so many people, and it's hard for me to be like, all right, I'm safe, things are okay, then I might actually have to get out of the room, right? I might have to try to get up and leave if I'm able to. And then I can kind of tell myself, all right, I'm safe, this is different. All right, so being able to do those different things or have different options is a huge thing to helping trauma, right? And taking those little steps, paying attention to what's happening with your brain and your body are some of the first steps to do that. And creating a safe space for yourself and with other people are going to be some of the first steps that you start to take whenever you're addressing your trauma. So I hope that this bridging episode was helpful, and I'm so sorry because I know that the content that Pete and Nicole offered for the second episode was so helpful and so insightful. And I feel so bad about losing that episode and not doing the proper thing of saving and editing it properly. But I know that this is a good transition, and episode 3 was wonderful for the trauma series. So I look forward to you guys being able to hear that part, and I hope that this is helpful for you. Thank you for joining us for this episode of Mental Health Insights. And if you want to find more episodes about maybe trauma is not your thing, and maybe you'd like to learn a little bit about some other mental health related things, then check out some of our other episodes. And we definitely got more to come, right? And if there's maybe a mental health topic that you are interested in learning about or you're curious about, then you can go ahead and give me a, shoot me an email, right? It's Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at lifecarecounselingstl.com. And I would love to put one of those episodes up for you, right? Because I know there's a lot of questions around this. And, sometimes it's hard to be able to get good information or know what's true, what's not. And it would be my pleasure to get that information to you in this podcast format. So I wish you all well, and we'll see you next time. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.